Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Be Unique Unscripted, because an authentic life is unscripted. Presented by Bronner House Museum, Elisa Kaler, the spiritual therapist, and Little Green Oasis. Unscripted brings you amazing guests and open mic nights every Thursday night at 9 o'clock Eastern Time. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an opportunity to learn more. Visit our calendar on beunique.org to see who we have scheduled to appear next. That's BUNEKE.org.
Welcome to Be Unique Radio. Today is August 13th, 2020, and I am your host, Mary Brotherton. It's my stepson's birthday, and I would be a bad stepmom. I'm already his redheaded stepmom, even though my hair is not red anymore. But happy birthday, Stuart Brotherton. My co-host is Jean Albertson. Hi, Jean.
Hey, Mary. How you doing? And happy birthday, too. Happy birthday.
And you actually met Stuart. He was there helping us when we filmed Forgotten Enchantress.
Okay, yeah. I met a lot of people that day. That's awesome.
I know. That day was confusing for all of us.
Well, awesome.
Now, Jean, you know that our guest tonight is Chantel Eubanks, right?
Yes, I do.
So what can you tell our listeners about her before we bring her into the show?
Well, I'll tell you that she was born in Panama City, Panama. Spent most of her growing up time in Texas. She always loved music and the theater and the arts. She graduated from Texas A&M University in Corpus Christi, then moved to Florida, where she worked in for Orlando area theme parks, was involved in indie film. And recently she moved back to Texas and started a career in voice acting. She also works for two Texas theme parks currently. In March 2020, she began her master's program in media and arts management and promotion at Regents University. Mary?
Very cool. Did you know that when she lived in Florida, she was involved with BeUnique.org?
I did not. Oh,
maybe
we should bring
Chantel in and she can tell us about it.
Yes, please do. Yes, Chantel, are you there?
Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello, thank you for having me.
We are so glad to have you.
Heck yeah,
we used
welcome.
To hear Chantel's voice a lot when she worked with us on BeUnique.org. You want to tell everybody what you did for us? One of the main things you did.
I was on the Coffee or Tea No Phones Allowed show for the second season. And I also would travel with BeUnique to many different locations and do on-site interviews with the many different people that we had, many different amazing people and guests that we had from all over.
We miss you, Chantel. Awesome. We miss you.
I miss you all too.
But now you're living your dream, aren't you?
Yes.
That is so cool.
Well, when you first started school, did you think, did you plan you were going to go for your master's degree in leadership role? Or did it kind of evolve over time?
It kind of evolved over time because what ended up happening was that I had like a passion for both theater and film. And I tried to figure out a way to combine everything together because I do also want to get into like management later on in life. So I was trying to figure out ways that I can, you know, combine all my different passions without, you know, going to school for like 5 different degrees or something. So
sure.
I ended up, I was actually, the school I'm going to, Regent University, I was actually looking into them ever since I was actually in my junior year of my undergraduate program. So originally, though, I was actually looking into their theater program for theater ministry, and I just always kept it in the back of my mind. But then when I moved to Florida and everything, like, I kind of wanted to, like, just keep on going in, like, the performer side of things. And then all of a sudden, I just had, like, a little voice inside of my head that said, hey, you need to check out, you know, Regent University again. And I ended up finding out the concentration that I ended up going with. I looked at the program, and I was like, this is everything that I wanted in a degree program, because not only am I learning management, but I learned marketing, I learned law, and learned a little bit of everything. So I feel as though that could help me out in the future. Like, even like if I still perform, if I eventually want to go into like a leadership role and like hopefully start my own like production company, I would have all the tools that I need in order to do so.
That's
very
awesome.
Cool.
Very awesome.
Don't you love it when you actually listen to that little voice in your head and you realize, hey, it knew what it was talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, though, that's what I was wondering about, because when you said I read on your website, I believe, ChantelEubanks.com, that you stated that you'd always had, ever since childhood, have been interested in the arts and music, and so it was all in you, you know. You got up. It's pretty awesome. What I want to know is, thing that I wanted to ask you, your earliest time that you remember that you loved to sing and dance and stuff.
I think for me, what my earliest memories was as a kid going to school. I remember they used to have field trips to a children's theater called the Magic Theater, and they did shows with adult actors for kids. And I remember being so fascinated with their shows, and then also too that my parents used to take me to the San Antonio Symphony all the time, and I ended up starting to play the violin, and then I ended up switching over to viola. So it was kind of like my parents and my school kind of helped me to, like, you know, discover those passions. But my parents also said, like, as a child, I was like a very shy child. So they didn't know, like, if I would open up enough to start pursuing a career in, like, the performing arts, because they said they thought my brother was the most outgoing one out of me and my brother, because they always thought I was, like, the kind of shy one. But it wasn't until probably my senior year of high school when my dad saw me do a talent show at my school, and he realized, okay, this is something that she wants to do. So then when I got into college, I started doing a lot of community theater. And I think when my parents came to see my shows, then over there too, they realized that, okay, this is something that she really, really does want to do. Because originally I always thought I was going to go to school for something in the medical field. So I even went as far as to apply for vet school. Like, I wanted to be a veterinarian. My dad was setting it up for me to inherit a veterinarian office from his friend, who was really good friends with him, that was like, as soon as I retire, I want to give you my practice. So when I decided to major in the performing arts, my dad was a little upset, because he's like, I had everything planned out for you.
Come on. What are you doing?
And he's like, you can change your mind if you want to. Eventually, you know, you can always go back to school and change your mind. And even though, like, I always had that thought, like, you know, I could have had everything, like, the world handed to me. But at the same time, one of my friends from high school actually said, when I told him, yeah, I was going to go to school for something in the medical field, he just said to me, like, really? He's like, I've always seen you as an actress. I haven't seen you as anything else.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Now, do you still play the viola?
Yes, I do. I don't play it as much, but I'm starting to start practicing again and trying to get back into the swing of things.
I would imagine that's very relaxing, mm-hmm. even mm-hmm. the practicing of it. Mm-hmm. I always love the sound of a viola.
Mm-hmm. Very awesome.
So now when you were in Orlando, you worked for some of the theme parks. What did mm-hmm. you do? You were more behind the scenes, weren't you?
Yes, I was behind the scenes at one of the theme parks as a costumer. So I worked the mm-hmm. stage shows, helped dress the performers. I was also a trainer and coordinator for the costume department. So I helped train new costumers on the shows. I also served as like a sub-coordinator where I worked in the costuming warehouse, and I was in charge of different parts of the costuming from all different parts of the world. And so I always had to fill, like, international orders and domestic orders. And then with another theme park I worked at, I was a performer over there, and I was a character performer. So I did meet and greets in the park as a character, mm-hmm. and then I also was considered one of the media characters. So every time we had certain media events, I was always pulled to go and, like, do commercials for the theme park in, as my character or perform for when they had concerts and things like that. Like, I would get pulled to do that stuff.
Very cool.
Now, so to be a media character, I mean, I know that many people fit inside the costumes. And they do the character, you know, they take on the characteristics of that cartoon character or fantasy character or whatever. But to be a media character, is that different from performing for the public?
It's a little bit different.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking because they selected you.
Yeah. So it was what ended up happening was that my managers would actually come and do, like, set checks in the park. So they would see how I interacted during my park sets. So then I always got high ratings for, like, my evaluations. So I ended up getting pulled to do media events. So when they had concerts and they needed, like, characters to dance on the stage for their concerts or anything like that, they would pull me. And I also got to do things like be on the Today Show as a character for this media event, and also for publicity photos for their website and for billboards and stuff like that.
Nice. Very cool.
That's very cool. I hope they paid you extra for that. I'm always thinking that way.
Sure.
Now that you're in Texas, you're doing voice acting, right?
Yes.
How's that going? I know that was something that you talked about when you were in Orlando, that, you know, that you really wanted to pursue that. So are you happy in what you're doing?
I really am happy with what I'm doing. I actually really didn't think I could get to where I am today. Like 13-year-old me would probably be happy about as myself right now, because I've always been a big fan of cartoons and animation, but I never thought that I would eventually have that career, starting my career. Because even though I'm still a newbie to the voice acting world, but I have been able to get attention from bigger studios and also seasoned well-known voice actors as well, that
Congratulations.
To my demo reel. Yeah. And so it's just kind of like when you put yourself out there, you never know what could happen.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We're going to need to take a break, and I want to ask you if, when we come back, you would share one of your voices with us.
Oh, yeah. I wanted to ask that, too.
Okay.
Let me take a real quick break.
Awesome.
There is a place between the dark and the light, between the day and the night, where things are shadowy and gray, and we walk there on a walk in shadow, Wednesday nights at 8 o'clock, where the darkness dwells, on AstronautRadio.com.
We are back. That's an ad from our trade partner, Astronet.com. I also want to tell anybody who's listening, by the way, I've got a contest tonight. If anybody can tell me how many countries are listening, I don't know what I'll give you, but I'll mail you something. A free copy of Be Unique magazine, or maybe something even more exciting.
Sure.
Would Jean or Chantel, would you care to take a guess how many people listen to our show? How many countries?
Chantel?
10, maybe?
More.
That's awesome. More.
Let me give a phone number. If anybody wants to call in with a guess, how many countries listen to Be Unique Radio? The number is 516-418-5651. I just thought about this. I need to have a contest, and I need to have something to give away, but I'll figure that out. It'll be worth some actual real money. It might not be worth a lot, but give us a call if you think you can guess. I bet Jean doesn't even know how many countries listen to us today.
Well, I read that it was 27 on the website, but I happen to know it's more than that now. So I'm going to guess more than 27?
It is more than 27. That should have been updated by now. I think we updated it this past week.
Oh, okay.
And the number that's on our website is incorrect because we got more today. When I looked today, are more.
Excellent.
I will definitely tell you at the end of the show. But, Chantel, who's there with you? What voice do you have for us today?
I have Stacy, which is my very snobby girl voice. Like, oh, my gosh, your clothes are so totally not cool. You better change them right now or else, you know, I can't believe you.
Wonder what Stacy would think about my hair. Ew. My grandchildren like it. They're 14, and they thought it was really cool. They said I looked like a peacock, a mermaid, and a unicorn had gotten confused. And I said, I just started dumping. You know how people do those paintings where they dump a little paint and they let it spill out and they dump a little more and they let it twirl around? That's kind of what I did with my hair this last time.
What?
I've got about 20. I got about 20 different colors on there.
That's cool. It's like when I was a kid, we used to melt all the extra little tiny pieces of crayon that couldn't be colored with anymore in my incredible Edamels machine. You know, and it did turn into a little melting mess of one color, but it was all like polka dots like that, squished together.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. So, now, Chantel, you were born in Panama City because your father was in the military?
Yes, my father was stationed out there at the time.
So where else have you lived besides Panama and San Antonio and Florida?
I lived in, when I first came to the United States, I lived in Maryland for a couple years, and then I moved to San Antonio. And my dad wanted to make sure he retired here in San Antonio because both of my parents are native Texans, and there was no place like home for them, so they wanted to come back.
Very cool. So you didn't have to travel around that much then?
No, just only like one location.
Okay, that's not bad. A lot of people with, you know, in the military, they travel quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So would you tell me how it was you came to be involved with BeUnique.org?
I remember I was browsing around one day because I did recognize some people that I recognized at my work location that was working with BeUnique. And then I ended up seeing an ad on, one of the acting websites.
One of the green rooms or whatever.
Yeah, green room, like, I believe like Greenland, Florida or Orlando or something like that. And I remember seeing the ad, and I decided to write in and see what it was all about. And I ended up getting a response from Lynn.
Uh-huh.
And then when I came and did my audition, the audition that I was just kind of like, I'm actually crying tears now. Everyone's going to know that I have feelings. But Jennifer was really, she's like, that's the type of, you know, interaction that we want. We want someone who's real with their emotions and when it comes to those emotional topics. And so just, I ended up getting involved with BeUnique after that, but I realized, you know, it's more than just the magazine. It's more than the show. Like, it's just like BeUnique is to me kind of a way of life, because just by my short months being on the show and just getting to know everyone, I started to try and change my lifestyle a little bit to, you know, more like be more helpful towards the environment.
That's awesome.
I think that's really the key is, I mean, I never thought of it as being a lifestyle. I think of it as being a movement, but it I know that it's changed my way of thinking about things. You know, when it comes to, is this sustainable or is this bad for the environment? I definitely look at things and I think not just once or twice, but sometimes I put it back and I go research before I buy something. And sometimes mm-hmm. by the time I'm ready to go back and buy it, I don't want it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And it's changed my thoughts about what I eat, how I eat. There's so much information, not just in the magazine, but also on the blog and in the documentaries. And I know that you worked on several off-site locations. You did a lot of traveling with us. I just thought, you know, it was just so much fun that one weekend that we went down to Fort Myers and worked with the strange name folks coming up, Nubability. But it's a group of athletes that are born or become different limbed. They don't call it, I think that's what they call it, different limbed. But they may have, they don't think that the word nub is a bad word. And we had so much fun, and we learned so much from those young people, you know, those children and the coaches.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Well, I know BeUnique definitely kind of swept me off my feet when I met up with them. Of course, Mary and Jennifer both hit me with both barrels first day with the event at Green Gables. And, you know, when I found out, I really started looking at what they were doing. It's like, oh my goodness, I decided this is what I want to do with the rest of my life, is tell people about fun, good stuff, and they're already doing it. So they graciously let me hang along, and who knows what's going to happen. I know that you said the lifestyle thing. At the very least, there are things I never even thought about that I've become aware of since reading Be Unique. You know, I'm definitely changing a lot of positive things in my life because of Be Unique, definitely. So I'm tickled to be here to help. I'm even thinking of making my hair blue and green a little bit, too.
Would you really?
Sure.
I would
sure.
love to see that. I'll loan you some
be
of my
Mary
dye.
Quinn.
Yeah.
My dye is good for the environment, and it's good for your hair. It's vegan dye. I guess
okay.
you could eat it if you wanted.
Well,
but talking about, you know, jumping on board with us, in the middle of September, in the middle of the week, in the middle of the day, Jean and I are going to have our own special show, and I'm excited. It's going to be called Take a Break with Jean and Mary, and it's going to be off the walls. Who knows what it's going to be? I have no idea what we're going to talk about.
Never know.
Well, you know, this is unscripted, but at least when we have a guest like Chantel, we have some foundation, I guess you'd say, or some grounding
right.
to start with, and somebody mm-hmm. else that we can talk with and talk about.
Sure.
I wanted to ask Chantel, when you were working on site, on set with Coffee or Tea, No Phones Allowed, which if our listeners haven't thought about it or looked into it, it's on YouTube. It's on the Be Unique magazine channel. Mm-hmm. It's a millennial perspective on a lot of topics, and I really enjoyed it. For a long time, we aired every single Monday a new show, and we're taking a break from that for the moment because we're working on documentaries. We do intend to come back to something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But when you were doing that, Chantel, did you have one or two shows that may have been, like, stand out in your mind?
I know for me, I wasn't in this episode, but one of the episodes that really stuck out to me was about, I believe, like, how they, like, people downsizing and just being conscious of, like, how much, like, stuff that they take. Because I remember Mackenzie was talking about how everything that she owns she can fit into, like, her car. And
no way.
I remember when I moved, I didn't realize how much stuff I gathered over the years. So when I was moving my stuff, I was just like, oh, my gosh, I did not, like, where did all this stuff come from? But I'm like, you know, I was in Florida for 7 years. So 7 years of my life, I had to put in my dad's rental car when he came to get me and then in my vehicle. And so I ended up having to, you know, donate some stuff or leave some stuff behind because I wasn't able to fit all the stuff in my car. And it just had me thinking about, you know, there sometimes you need to let go of things that you don't need anymore.
Oh, my.
And one of the things that I've actually been discussing with, like, my family about one thing that I experiment that I kind of been wanting to go about doing is here in Texas, we have the tiny home movement going on right now in Austin. And we have a place called Village Farm where it's tiny homes that you can purchase. But they also have their own farm, so you do community farming, and they're going to be opening up like an amphitheater and a general store. So it's basically going to be its own village. Like that's why it's called Village Farm. And so I was wanting to experiment and actually see what the tiny home lifestyle is like because they let you, some people let you rent out their home for like a few days if you want to see what the tiny lifestyle is like. And so that's like one of the things I was thinking about, because I'm a tech person now, that I'm like, I don't need all this stuff anymore. I wouldn't mind living in a tiny home probably.
Yeah.
Just you and your
cat. All over it. It's the next big thing.
Yeah, Gene keeps showing on Facebook, he'll put up these pictures of tiny homes, and I'm like, are you kidding me? No. But you know what's funny? When my first marriage fell apart, I moved into a very small little, it was just like an Airstream or whatever, and it was a little 900 square feet, and it was all I needed. And when your lifestyle changes, when your physical lifestyle changes, I think it changes your internal lifestyle as well. You realize what's important.
Sure.
And right now my husband and I live in a much larger house than I've ever lived in my life, and it's just us and the cat. And he was talking recently. He said, you know, when things change and life, you know, we both retire or whatever, he said, maybe we might want to think about selling this house and getting something smaller. I'm like, what are you going to do with all your stuff? He said, I'll figure it out.
Yeah.
I tend to be, I donate whenever I've moved a good bit in my adult life. And whenever I do, I just donate and then I have a bonfire. That's one of the benefits of living in rural area. You can't do that if you live in a city, which is where I am now.
Mm-hmm.
I need
to take another break.
Okay.
And it's going to be our ad. We've been talking about coffee or tea, but before I do, I want to remind anybody who's listening tonight that if you can call in with the correct number of countries that is listening to Be Unique, I'll send you something fabulous. It will not be a picture of my hair, I promise you. It is fabulous, though. 516-418-5651. Give us a call and say hello to Chantel. Say hello to Gene. Tell me to be quiet, whatever. We'll be right back.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. Do you prefer coffee or tea? This is a question we ask on our fun and informative millennial talk show called Coffee or Tea, No Phones Allowed. And why do I know? Because I'm Anna. I'm one of the co-hosts. It's a great time. It's a professionally edited weekly series that's free to watch on Be Unique's YouTube channel. That's B-U-N-E-K-E. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode and leave us a comment with your topic or guest recommendations. We love hearing from you.
And welcome back. Nobody called in yet, but I'm going to give the number out one more time. It is 516-418-5651. If you call in tonight, and you know what? Even if you're the closest guesser, and we already know it's more than 10, we already know it's more than 27. So if you can guess how many countries are listening to Be Unique Radio, I will send you, I don't care where in the world you are, unless our government forbids me to interact with you, and I think in that case you wouldn't be listening to the show anyway. I will send you something that you will enjoy. Anyway, we're here with Gene Albertson and Chantel Eubank. We're talking about BeUnique.org, coffee or tea, volunteering, cats, tiny homes, acting, voice acting, character acting. What have we missed? Is there anything left to talk about?
Well, I was thinking, I did want to ask you, when I was reading your website and your information, different things you've done, is such a wide array of different things you've done involved in production. And, you know, do you have things that are your favorite things to do?
Good question.
If you could just do, you know, anything you wanted to. Just pick something and run into it flying with all your fun and joy.
for one of my favorite, like, behind-the-scenes position with filmmaking is being a production assistant. And some people may, like, that's, like, the entry-level position, and some people may not, like, some people think as though it's kind of like, oh, you just do whatever the director or the producer tells you to do. You kind of, like, are just running around the place, and it's not, like, a fun job. But for me, I love it because I'm the type of person, I have to get up and go. So if I'm usually also the production assistant that some people, they don't like driving cars, or they don't like driving company vehicles. So they'll always be like, oh, we need a PA to go make a run to pick up some ice or pick up lunch or do this.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I'm usually always the PA that does it. But even though some people are like, they don't like doing that aspect of, like, in the film industry, I think that it's a perfect way just to get your start. And then if you want to learn other things, you can eventually move up within the film realm. Like, I started off as a PA, but sometimes I get to learn, like, electric, or I may work, like, right next to the director. Like, the director may want to pull me, or sometimes I may be a filler for the film where I sit in the audience as, like, a guest or an audience member. Like, when I first moved back to Texas, I had a gig where I actually worked as a production assistant for a comedian. And I was doing runs for the associate producer, and I helped set up, like, the craft services table. And I mean, that's another perks of working on a film set, is that when you're the craft PA, you set up the table, but that means you get to have all the snacks too. So perks there. And so part of my job was just, like, doing things like that. But then when it was actually showtime, the producer told me, hey, go sit in the audience and be an audience member for the night. And so I got to watch the show twice, because he did two performances, and it was for a special getting filmed on Showtime.
Oh, wow.
And some people were like, how do you get these cool gigs? And I tell people, I said, you know, I have to research, and I have to go and find these jobs. And sometimes I get like really, really great jobs, and then sometimes I get, like, those very strange ones that you're like, what am I doing here? But it's like, I'm getting paid to be here, so.
Exactly.
I know the first time Jennifer had asked me to help as the PA, the first thing she asked me to do, she said, Mary, before anybody gets here, I need you to go sit right there. Because she uses me to either focus the camera or check the light. And, you know, I wasn't getting paid for it, because nobody gets paid at Be Unique yet. But we're working on that with some more sponsors. So if you like the show, sponsor it. But it's still fun, because you get to learn. And I think as long as you're learning, you can't, you know, it's you're growing. You learn and you grow.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. That was always my favorite kind of jobs I ever did, is I always enjoy doing things where I get to do some of each thing, you know.
Yes.
One of my favorite things is joining new teams, because you go in there and you just watch what everybody else is doing and kind of copy them, and then you look for opportunities to do something, you know, on your own and fit it in, and works out pretty good. It's pretty fun.
And Chantel, she's got the kind of go-to attitude. I mean, I know that you're maybe a little shyer than some of our more outgoing volunteers. I mean, we've had some pretty bodacious people. But Chantel's not afraid to do anything. You know, if you ask her, she's always been there. And there have been times that we say we need a volunteer, and she's always the first one to respond and say, I'm available. And that
awesome.
Goes a long way, whether it's, you know, for volunteering as a nonprofit or volunteering for something outside of your job. You know, if you're the production assistant and he says, hey, I need somebody to, and your hand goes up, he's going to remember you.
Mm-hmm.
Or she, you know, the producer is going to remember that you're the person who didn't hesitate to make a run for more ice or go pick up. I was not any kind of producer. I just happened to have a friend who was, it was a zombie film. And if he'd have a PA, I guess I would have fit into that role because their lead was wearing a white shirt and he didn't bring but one. I mean, this was definitely a low budget film. And he did one scene where he got splashed with zombie blood and he had no idea what to do. And I said, well, why don't I go find a Target or grocery store or something? And I was in a new city. I was over in Sarasota, had no idea where anything was. I said, I'll get some Tide sticks. Oh, Tide, you should pay me for this unsolicited sponsorship. this is not a paid endorsement. But we went and got some stain remover sticks, I should say, I guess, and brought them back. And it basically saved the film because otherwise it had to stop and go get a new shirt. And that would have taken longer than me going because they could keep filming. They could film something else.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got back, they could film the next scene with the guy in the cleaned up shirt. But people don't realize that there are a lot of things that go on behind the scenes. And this is, I think, one of the things that fascinated Gene. He got to be in the film and behind the scenes in Forgotten Enchantress. And you got to see a lot of things that nobody else would have ever known how it was done. You know, some of those special effects that Jennifer put in there.
Sure.
At the time, it might have felt like, oh, not this scene again. Why do we have to stand like this one more time? But once it's all together, realize why she did it that way.
Mm-hmm.
I think
it's
pretty cool.
Well,
yeah.
You know, and talk about a production assistant or Jennifer or you or somebody hooked me up during the filming. I didn't think to bring any sort of tie, and so somebody grabbed a piece of something and made a tie out of it for me for the film. It looked like a real tie.
I think it was a hair bow.
Yeah, it worked out great.
Yeah, and that is one thing that you'll find in the entertainment industry is everybody is, they have what I consider very unique capability in the creative. You learn to make do. And it doesn't matter what your budget is. There are times that you just can't run out and buy another XYZ. So you make one on the spot or you make something that works.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing too, I have to point out what Chantel pointed out too about the chow. You guys always, every day of production, there was always a little bit of food there, right? But right there every day. And I had a bite. It was pretty fun.
That was all Marion.
Was it?
That was all Marion. Yeah. Marion, Sue,
That's
and Anita,
awesome.
I think they made sure everybody was well fed.
Oh my goodness. I never ate so much. It was awesome.
Yeah.
You know, it really was. Well, and the thing about that particular film and being a part of it and seeing it, like you said, from all the different angles and being in and around everybody making it and in the meetings and stuff like that. And, you know, I will tell you without a doubt that when you watch the movie, you're seeing clearly what's in the heart of all the people, the hundreds or thousands or whatever of the people that work to make this thing happen, this house. It's just, it's such a beautiful piece of work, you know, and I still, even after about, I think probably five or six times, and I still get a tear, so that's pretty cool. I love it. I like that. So, anyway, I'm wondering, Chantel, do you have a big dream production you want to do? maybe the production, the stage production of the century, or movie, or anything like that?
Well, for me, I would like one thing that I would like to accomplish is I would like to do a voice for a character in a major motion picture. That would be one of my dream goals, as well as just being maybe an on camera actor in a major film production too, as in a leading role, because I've been on professional film sets and I've been an extra in films, but mm-hmm. and so I kind of already seen how the industry works, and I've dealt with the long days already and everything, and I just feel so eventually I'm ready to take the next step and hopefully get a major role one day. And then my end goal is after maybe after I get old and they don't want me anymore or something, I can go to the management side of things.
Excellent. Yeah, exactly.
That's the way to do it. That's pretty smart. But you know what I'm finding? A lot of the people that we associate with as young actors, young adults, maybe newlyweds or whatever in a show, they're now being I don't want to say reimagined, but they're finding roles as older people, And you would be surprised when you look, she's not that old. Why is she the grandma? Yeah. But, it's interesting because that's the whole thing. And in fact, my very first lead role, but it was in a very small film, was one of Jennifer's. She wrote it and she directed it, called Fragile House. And I was the grandma. And I was barely old enough to be a grandma, but she made me one. And you find a way with acting. And I want to say, if anybody's listening, go to ChantelEubanks.com and you'll watch her demo and listen to her voices. I'm just blown away by some of your voices.
Yeah, very remarkable.
Mm-hmm. Down to our last quarter hour. So I have a question for Jean. Do you know
sure.
who our guest is for next week?
Oh, I sure do. You know, next week is going to be kind of a special week for us. We have some on-demand shows.
Yeah, we got 3 shows next week.
Let's see here. Looks like the first one is on Tuesday night at a special time at 6 o'clock.
I never do them that early.
Well, and then we've got, it looks like we're doing 2 on Thursday, one at 2 in the afternoon, and then one at our regular time at 9 p.m.
Yep.
That's
on Tuesday, we're doing Homebrew Detritus, which is a Pathfinder gaming group. They do they have a YouTube channel they're doing, and they're an interesting group of people. And then Bob Freeman is an author. We're doing his show on Thursday afternoon from his little apartment in an assisted living facility. He's an author, he used to be a professor. I forget where. I should remember, but I don't. And then Tanya Tewell, I'm not sure if I pronounced her name. She is involved in a nonprofit organization, and I don't remember. I don't want to mess it up. But anyway, we're doing all 3 of those in 1 week. That's unusual for us.
Yeah, yeah. But that's all right. It's going to be an adventure all week.
Yeah.
Just like tonight. Thanks again, Chantel. I'll tell you for coming in. It's pretty awesome. I was excited to hear about, who you were and what you were doing. Because I have this idea for the theater production of the century, but I don't want to talk about it on the air yet for fear that it'll get stolen. I'll keep you in mind,
It sounds like a collaboration is coming up.
Maybe
and we know
so.
A great production company that can help with that.
That's kind of what I'm thinking. That as I sit around here and more I hang around be unique. I just see all the pieces falling into place to do something pretty big.
I am still blown away that, you know, 2.5 years ago, we were just thinking about doing this. Jennifer and I went to lunch one day, and we're talking about it. Now we're doing podcasts. And, oh, man, come on, somebody give me a call and give me a guess. How many countries listen to us? 516-418-5651. You could win something if I have to
really
go to the store
cool.
and buy it tomorrow. You know, it'll be cool. I guarantee you
it'll
be cool.
If I don't think it's cool enough, I'll get something too. We'll put two cool things.
Ah, that sounds good. I think I need to take another quick little break here, and I'll be right back. So call in and guess how many countries listen to Be Unique Radio. It's more than 27.
It's less than 195. There's 195 right now. So it's less than 195.
Yeah, it's between 27 and 195. The number to call if you want to win is 516. You'll win a mystery gift, 516-418-5651.
If you like the show tonight, let us know. Call 321-417-4309 or email mary@beunique.org to ask how you can sponsor the show. It's simple and doesn't have to cost much at all. Visit beunique.org for even more details. That's BUNEKE.org. Join the global world changers who already know how Be Unique helps bring together like-minded humans who are making the world a better place. Read the magazine and blog posts, watch our videos, listen to our podcast, and visit our social media from one location, and let's work together. Change tomorrow by finding solutions today. Visit BUNEKE.org to learn more. That's BUNEKE.org.
See, it's a good thing we're unscripted because I totally jumped all over Gene's toes on my non-script script that I sent him earlier today.
That's all right. I learned a long time ago to make sure that I can do my slide presentation if the slide projector doesn't work. So.
Yes.
Accidentally. So.
Well, you just never know what we're going to do or which button I might push and who knows what's going to happen with AstroNet Radio.
That's the fun part.
Yeah, it's a mystery and it's part of an adventure. But I wanted to ask you, Chantel, while we still have a few minutes left, your master's courses, are you doing all of that online now or how is that working out?
Yes, I do everything online. My program is actually fully online. My college is actually based down in Virginia Beach, Virginia. And when I first inquired about them, they wanted me to be an on-camp so bad. But I was like, well, I'd rather just do it online so I can spend my own time with my family and everything. But I have to say that online courses for me, it's quite easy in my opinion in that. The cool thing about being an online student, too, is that if your professor does want to collaborate with you, they have, like, a video chat feature where you can have, like, an hour of class chatting about the course and everything. So if some professors do utilize it, and some you just turn in your assignments as is, and they may just write you in emails or write you on discussion boards. But I had my law class, we had a collaboration every Saturday. So I got to talk with my professor, see my professor, like, virtually face-to-face. And it's also really cool because in order to work at Regent, like, a lot of the professors are not on the main campus. Like, a lot of them live in other states. So one of my professors this semester lives in Indiana and another one. My law professor lives in Hawaii.
Oh, wow.
That's pretty awesome.
I know that would have been difficult for me in college because I swear I've got a half a letter grade just for office hours and sucking up when I needed to, you know. But you got to do that in person.
Got a half a letter grade for sucking up. I love it.
When I was a professor, I used to totally give extra credit for good sucking up if they were sincere, you know. So
yeah. Well, I am absolutely positive that I passed college. I think it was calculus. Oh God, I hated that class. I'm sure I passed it just for looking attentive. I sat at the front of the row and I was like all eyes on the instructor and trying to just keep up, and I was taking notes furiously. I didn't have a clue what I was doing. I was a great note taker. And thank God we were all graded on the curve. Otherwise, I'd have flunked out. But I definitely kept all of my math courses for my final semester so that I could keep my GPA up until then. Then my GPA went downhill.
Oh.
Chantel, what's the most challenging part for you in your course?
I think for me, since I haven't, like, I finished my undergrad, officially today marks 8 years since I finished my undergrad, but I started my master's courses in March, and so at first I was worried about, okay, how am I going to go back to the groove of being a student again, and I know master's is a little bit more to do than a bachelor's degree. And so at first, the reason why it wasn't as challenging as for me to just hop into it was that my university actually has like an introductory graduate course that teaches you how to use your Blackboard account, how to do like online quizzes. Like, they give you like little samples of everything, and it's just like you pass or fail the class, but like it goes through everything that you need for grad school, how to write your papers the correct way, and
That's awesome. So
they make sure to set you up for success right away. And so took my introduction class, and I took a class on my first course, official course, was leadership communication, and that course was really interesting. Like, the thing I like is that a lot of my courses are very interesting and like different perspectives, and it can be a lot of work at times. Like, sometimes I do pull all-nighters. Like, the latest I stayed up for my law class was actually 7 a.m. in the morning. So I saw the sun come up, and I was still sitting at my computer working on a paper. And people ask me, when did you end up going to sleep? And I said, 7 a.m. And so sometimes it's just like, the most challenging part for me is like figuring out where in the day to fit in doing your classwork and things like that, especially since I do have like hanging out with my family and trying to make time for everyone. So like, that's been like the main challenging part for me. And then also with voiceover too, that usually they say for you to get like a voiceover gig, sometimes you have to audition like 10 times a day. And so figuring out when to go and audition on a daily basis and then trying to sit in school with that. But my studio, my home studio is a walk-in closet, my walk-in guest room closet. So I built like a soundproof studio in a walk-in closet. So it depends on, sometimes I'm like even in my studio at like 4 a.m. if I see a job that I really, really want to apply for. And it's also too, you have to make sure you don't wait around, because as soon as they get a certain enough of people auditioning for it, they may cut the audition early. So they usually say, sure, go in as soon as you get the audition, go in right away, record at least 20 seconds of the script if they give you one, and then submit it to them, so then the client can listen and see, like, okay, do I want this person, or if I'm going to go with someone else.
So it's almost as almost as intensive as physical acting.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe more so. At least, you know, not necessarily hanging around waiting to be called, but you're sitting around looking at your computer waiting for the calls to show up.
Mm-hmm. And so sometimes I have it on my phone when I get like emails about, oh, you fit the criteria for this job, because you also, the thing that's helpful is that there's a lot of different websites for voice acting. So you can sign up for emails or sign up for their plans and just they just like send you emails like, hey, you might fit this job, audition for here, here's the script. But then there's sometimes when you may not get a script, you may have to send your generic demo, or you may get a script and you don't know exactly what this character is like, because sometimes it's really hard when you just get a script and there's no character image or whatever, because you're like, I don't know what kind of voice I'm supposed to use for this character.
Oh,
so
wow.
You kind of have to be creative. So sometimes I get sent scripts, and so what I like to do, I may do multiple takes and different voices to see, okay, which voice
sure.
that they like.
Sure.
So
that's pretty
you
clever.
You also have to worry about too. Mm-hmm.
Well, that sounds so fun. I'd love to do that.
Mm-hmm.
That's fun.
Well, Gene, let's hear your snotty girl voice.
A snotty girl voice?
Yeah, she did Stacy earlier. She heard a little snotty girl.
Well, I'll just be a snotty girl then.
How's that? Or is that a snotty old lady?
I love
it. Oh, snotty girl.
No, that's Bob.
That's Bob.
I don't know.
His dog. Oh,
yeah,
that's
Bob,
funny.
Kind of high.
And I have a cat with a very baritone voice.
That's funny.
And also, like the key to voice acting is that sometimes you pull characters from the people that are around you or situations that go on. So that's how I actually come up with some of my characters, is by something that has, like, someone I met in my life, or maybe something that
uh-huh.
I've watched on TV.
Wow.
So that's how sometimes I focus, and that's how I learn characters. Like, I actually was watching a horror movie the other day, and there was a little girl dressed as a Girl Scout, but she was actually an evil little Girl Scout.
Mm.
And it was like, her voice was so funny that I said, I really need to use that voice for something. And she's like, greetings, sir. Salutations.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
I got another little short part. It was not a lead at all. It was, I think they cut me completely out of the film. But I was supposed to be the mother to this teenager, and they told me that I needed to portray someone who's scatterbrained. And I knew immediately who I would channel. So I get that. I can understand how you could do that, because you think about the people that you know that, you know, they're either very businesslike or very creepy, or they're very goofy or whatever. And then you can just kind of remember how they talk and fill in. It's pretty cool.
Well, and I'll bet too, in your business doing this, you probably have a real heightened awareness. You know, it's like a dentist noticing everybody's teeth.
Yeah,
know?
I bet you're watching everybody
like
for characters.
Mm-hmm. And the thing is that, like with voiceover, some people think, oh, if you're a film actor, it'll be easy to get into voiceover. Like, sometimes that is true, but when I got into voice acting, it was kind of like I was a baby all over again, because it's just so much goes into it, because you have to know the different mechanisms of, like, your voice and head voice and where the placement of voices, and if you need to place a character, like, certain character is more nasally, or if you want a character with a lisp, or if you talk with an accent, and you have to know, like, where to place your voice. Like, I always laugh because...
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Yeah, like, I always laugh because, you know, sometimes like I guess that sometimes some of my characters, like apparently in my demo reel, I was doing a really proper voice, and so a lot of times now people may contact me and say, hey, can you talk in a British accent? And there's times that I'm just kind of like, I don't want to offend anyone in the UK with my bad accent, but apparently people want to use that for some reason.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there are so many, just like in the United States, we have different dialects. They have different dialects in the UK. So someone from London would sound completely different than someone from Norwich. And Scotland is part of the UK too. And don't even get me started on Scottish accent. I, you know, it's a very guttural language, the way they use it. So next time somebody says, hey, can you give me a UK accent, say, which region?
Well, you know, I remember quite a while back I ran across something on the internet where a woman from England, she was actually an actress from England, was giving a tutorial and said, all you people, you know, faking your British accent, it's not how it goes. This is how it goes. And it was pretty funny.
I bet.
It was, yeah. You know, I don't have
guess
too
what,
many accents except for the one I've got. So I'm working on others, you know.
Well, I have what I speak with every day. And then I have my southern accent that I use when I'm with my family. And I don't mean to. It just comes out. And before you know it, I sound like Paula Dane. I just, mercy me, I can't help myself. I just, and my husband got introduced to the difference between a southern accent and a southern rural accent. Because my brother has lived most of his life in Savannah. So he has one accent, and then he's not too long ago married a woman from a rural area in South Carolina. And they completely, they sound like they're from different regions. I mean, I guess they are. But it's interesting because, you know, I'm my brother's sister, but I'm this woman's sister-in-law.
It's pretty fun.
Some words get kind of chopped. But would you believe that we've gone beyond our hour?
Oh man, yeah, yep.
I mean, the time flies. And Chantel, I'll tell you. Every week, Gene and I do something, and I'm going to let him tell you what we do. But I want you to be thinking about this while you're listening to Gene at the end of our show. You want to take it away, Gene?
Well, yes. One of the things we like to do is leave everyone with a parting word. And mine is tonight is very short and sweet. Is I just say, you know, make sure you have fun. Whatever you're doing, if you have to do some things you might not want to, figure out a way to have fun, and it will be better. And Mary, I know you have lots of words of wisdom, and if you've got anything tonight.
Well, I'm actually borrowing my final words for tonight from my grandson. He recently told me, if you haven't been buried, that means you're living. So go out and make it a good life.
Very nice. That's awesome.
Chantel, would you like to leave us with any words?
One of my biggest things is I would like to tell everyone to always live out your dreams. Don't be afraid if you're going to fail, because at least the best I feel as though you win if you at least try. Because that is in itself something to think about. Like, you actually got out there and you tried your best. You gave it your all. And that's all that should matter.
Yep.
Absolutely. Those are wise, wise words. I want
Thank
to remind everybody to follow Chantel Eubanks through her website, chantelEubanks.com. And you can find all of her social media there. And do either one of you want to guess again what our number of countries is? Since nobody called in for the prize.
Well,
70.
Not quite 70. Not quite. Lower, lower.
Is it 34?
Higher, higher.
Oh.
40?
Lower.
38. 39. 39. Oh, Mary guessed it. Mary got it right.
I checked on this today's Thursday. I checked on this on Tuesday night, and we were still at 37. And somewhere between yesterday and today, we picked up Belgium and the Republic of Tanzania.
Very nice.
I just keep watching our countries grow, and I absolutely love it. Now, brownie points, if either one of you can guess, outside of the United States, which country to us more? Which is our second highest listening percentage?
Trinidad and Tobago.
No. It starts with a letter way higher up in the alphabet.
Australia.
It is Australia. Ding, 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 ding. We have a winner.
Oh, excellent.
The United States is the top listening country, and Australia is the second highest listener, percentage-wise.
Wow. That's awesome. I have a couple Facebook groups that I belong to full of Australian people. I have to tell them about it.
Yeah, tell them about the show. Especially in September when it's just you and me against the world.
Yeah. Well, and I'll tell you what, Chantel, don't be surprised if you hear a call about this great production. If it's going to happen, I think you're going to be part of it, because I think Be Unique's going to do it. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Well, now listen, if Steven Spielberg or Martin Scorsese approach you and offer to do it for you, we will generously back down. We'll let them take over.
Well, they always have another production company somewhere listed on the film. We'll work it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe they'll put us in there as one of their producers or whatever.
Well, the thing is, Be Unique is the next big thing, and so by the time we get it rolling, we'll do it ourselves, you know?
Hey,
there'll be people lined up down the street to pay to get involved in it, you know? It'll be so big.
I love it.
Huh?
I love it. That's cool. I'm not going to argue with that. I like that vision.
All right. Chantel, well, I'm going to start.
Chantel,
such a pleasure meeting you. Such a pleasure meeting you, ma'am. I'm sure we'll talk again at some point.
And if you need to reach out to her, I've got her contact. I'll just sell it to you for a dollar or two.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll have to have her back on our new show too, you know, that we'll be able to have more people instead of having to wait to come back around again. So
because right now we're booked through March, and
Jean
and I are going to start kind of slow, doing once a month on Wednesdays in the middle of the day, and just see how it works, see how people respond to that. It might be a better time of day. We don't know. We're going to find
out. Chantel,
around. Are you aware of the Be Creative Challenge that we've got out?
No.
Visit beunique.org and click on contest, because you could definitely play music or do voices or something. There's all kinds of things where you can, we have so many different categories, it's ridiculous. And we're giving money away. We're awarding money to the winners.
Cash.
So check it out.
Money.
Yep. Cash and other awards, which you'll probably like to find out. It's going to give away tonight. Okay, folks. I'm going to hit my exit button and let you say goodnight.
Bye-bye.
Good evening, everybody. Good night.
Bye.
Thank you for listening this evening. We're happy you chose to spend this time with us, and we hope you learned as much as we did.
Every Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
And if you'd like us to invite you or someone you know to speak right here, just go to beunique.org and contact us there.
I'm still trying to wrap my head around the fact that our newly branded podcast has so many global listeners and that our website and magazine receive thousands of visitors each month. Let's put your brand in front of all those people. Mary can share the demographics with you. Contact her through the website. That's BUNEKE.org.